The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 25. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is God's word.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors. Grateful you're with us as we are walking through these chapters in Isaiah that we started a couple weeks ago. And what we have been reminding ourselves is Isaiah is giving a prophecy about 100 years prior to the captivity of Israel in Babylon. And so that's where we find ourselves at this point. And this morning, it's going to be extremely helpful for us because oftentimes in the midst of difficulties in life, we are wondering to ourselves, where can one find hope? Where can hope be found? I mean, that's a perennial question. When troubles, difficulties, burdens, trials, heartache, loss, grief, whatever it is, when those things come our way, we're often wondering, where do I turn to find hope in the midst of it? Oftentimes, the struggle that we're experiencing, it's like looking through a fogged window. It's difficult to see beyond the burden, the strife, the difficulty, the heartache, the loss, whatever it is. We wonder, where does one find hope? Does one find hope in the political process that we're getting ready to enter into? What if hope can't be found there? Do we find hope in financial security? But what about times like these where things are extremely unstable? Where do we turn when heartache and loss knock on our door? What if we're not able to turn to the political process? We're not able to rely upon our financial well-being for security. Where do we go to find hope? And the prophet Isaiah speaks a word of hope to those who would be exile in Babylon, who are often, like us, are wondering, where is God in the midst of it? Like as we enter into this unique season of the year and uniquely feel trials, because of the season that we're walking into. Holidays tend to do that. They bring just a greater sense, not only of the financial difficulties that might be coming our way and trying to figure out how to make ends meet, but also that feeling and experience of loss that we have, that grief that comes upon us wave after wave as we're reminded because of the holiday season that there are loved ones whom we have lost. There are people that we care about who are no longer with us. There is strife and difficulty in our family structures or in our friends group. Like this season of year brings with it kind of a heaviness and a gloom, much like the day that we have outside. Where do we go to find hope? So this passage is going to be helpful for us as we look to the Lord to see him as the one who provides strength in our time of need. We need to face our difficulties head on. We need to do that by remembering our God, and we need to experience his gracious strengthening. What we'll see this morning is that the Lord provides strength in our time of need. And so much like those who are in exile in the Old Testament time, we can find ourselves despairing in difficult times. Look again at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Isaiah prophesying these things 100 years before Israel's taken into captivity. They would remain in captivity for 70 years. And is it any wonder that they might be asking themselves, where is God in the midst of this? They've been uprooted and taken out of the promised land that God had promised to them. He had brought them out of captivity in Egypt into this great, lush, promised land. And they've now been uprooted and yanked out of that and are found themselves back in captivity once again, this time in Babylon. Is it any wonder that they come to the Lord with a sorrowful lament? This isn't an accusation so much as it is that, a sorrowful lament. Where are you, God? I think many of us can relate to that experience. We all will or have found ourselves in difficult, burdensome times. And when those times come, when hard times come our way, often we wonder, where is God? In the midst of sadness, in the midst of loss, in the midst of unmet expectations, God, where are you? And so we come to the Lord with our own sorrowful lament, our own wondering, our own searching, our own questioning. Where are you, God? Well, Isaiah challenges Israel and us in that way of thinking. The Lord doesn't come back at the people and chastise them, but Isaiah challenges this way of thinking. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God. Why do you say, O Jacob? Why do you say, O Israel? Why does he use those names? He's speaking to the people of Israel, and yet he calls him Jacob. He calls him Israel. Why does he do that? What he's doing is he's reminding them of their forefather Jacob and his own desperate time of need. It was brought on by himself. He had robbed his brother of his birthright, and he's getting ready to meet Esau, and he has this bizarre scene in Genesis chapter 32 where he is wrestling with this angelic figure, this man. And ultimately, we see that it's this striving with the Lord that happens in the midst of it. And as he is wrestling, as he is pleading with the Lord for a blessing, to find comfort in his desperate time of need, as he is wrestling with that angelic figure, he is asked, "What is your name?" And that might seem curious to us. Like, they've been wrestling all night, and just now he's wondering, who is this? That's not what's going on. What he's doing is he's reminding Jacob of who he is. What's your name? You see, Jacob's name meant con man. That's precisely what he had done his entire life. In fact, the reason he's in this place worried about his meeting up with Esau is because he had stole Esau's birthright and his blessing. What is your name? It's Jacob. But no longer will it be Jacob. You'll now be Israel, one who strives with God. You see, what Isaiah is wanting Israel to remember as they sit in captivity is that God is with us in the striving and will bring us out on the other side. Like, that's what you and I need. In the midst of difficulty, trying circumstance, hardship in this life, we need to understand that we can wrestle with God and receive blessing and comfort. You can bring your sorrowful lament to our God. He is big enough for it. You can strive and plead for his comfort and his blessing. And what you need to understand is he'll bring you out on the other side. That you can experience comfort and hope in this life. That we can indeed make it through because of our God. The Lord provides strength in our time of need. But how? The first thing that Isaiah wants us to see is how we make it through it, how the Lord brings us through to the other side is first by remembering our God in difficult times. Verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. We're called to remember who our God is in the midst of difficulty. That's what Isaiah does in this moment. If we're going to make it through, if we're going to have hope in the midst of difficulty, we need to remember who God is. He is everlasting. He is at all times. How comforting is that to know? Because you and I are bound to this moment. And in many ways, when difficulties and burdens and trials and struggles are upon us and weighing us down, that's all we can see. It's hard to see through it. We're bound to this time in this place, and yet God is not. We can only see in part. He sees the whole. He's everlasting. He's at all times, past, present, and future. He is the creator of all. He is at all places. There is not a square inch on this earth that God is not. Wherever life takes us, whether Babylon or hospice care, our God is there for us. Where is God? He's right here, right now. He does not faint or grow weary. He is always at work. In the midst of burden, trial, difficulty, there's a sense of exhaustion that comes with it, isn't there? Like you can't get your mind off of it. You can't divert your attention. You can't do anything that seems to bring respite. It's wearisome. And yet what we're told is we have a God who never grows weary or tired, which is good news because we do. He's always at work on our behalf. He is a God of understanding and wisdom. He understands our frailty. That we're at the limits of what we can bear and what we can carry, and he knows and understands, is incompetently at work in our life. When life is bewildering to us, it's not to him. And so God is involved at every period of time, at every place in the universe, competently and wisely handling every detail of life, always working on our behalf. We need to remember that's who our God is. When we're at the end of our rope, we need to remember the Lord. And just like Israel, who has Isaiah reminding them of who our God is, you and I often need others to remind us. We become so consumed, so overwhelmed, so overcome, that often we need outside people speaking into our lives that we could remember who God is. We get so caught up in the weight of it all that we have a hard time thinking about anything else. I mean, that's just natural to the human frame. We are weak and frail, and we need others to remind us of who our God is. This is the value of the local church, that we have brothers and sisters who walk with us, helping to not only carry a load with us, but reminding us of who God is and what he's like. This is why the partner connection matters so much. Taking a step to enter into covenant partnership within the local church matters. That we could walk with one another, care for one another, bear weight with one another. The Lord provides strength in our time of need. He does that first by remembering who our God is in difficult times. But secondly, experiencing God's gracious strengthening in difficult times. You see, out of the overflow of who God is, God shares his strength with us. Verse 29, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. All throughout Isaiah 40, because this has been said in weeks past, we see God's greatness. We're seeing God's greatness. We're to remember who God is. That list of four little bullet points, that points to the essential attributes of the God of the universe. Eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, holy, wise, omnipresent. But it isn't only that God is great, but he generously cares for us. Like, that's what he's reminding us of in this moment. Not only is he great, but he'll sustain us in the midst of our time of need. All we need to do is recognize our need. We have to come to the place of recognizing our need. Everyone grows weary and tired at some point. The emotional weariness, the physical exhaustion, all of us grow tired and weary at some point. And when we recognize our need, God will not withhold anything from us. And so in this then is an implicit invitation to turn to the Lord. Like if you're aware of your neediness in this moment, the invitation is to have those needs met in the Lord. I couldn't help but be reminded of Matthew 11, Jesus' own words, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When you're at the end of your rope, when things are too heavy to carry, Jesus says, "Turn to me and find rest." That's good news for us this morning. We have to recognize our need. And as we do, then we're able to receive strength to make it through. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Receive strength to fly, to run, to walk without fainting. I think there's a deliberate pointing back to the Exodus, where God is said to have delivered his people as if on wings of eagles. What he's doing in this moment is reminding us that as he provides strength, he's providing us strength to make it through. That he's going to provide, he's going to give us provision to make it through. In the same way that Israel was delivered out of the hands of Egypt, so Israel be delivered out of captivity and Babylon. And whatever burden you are carrying in this moment, the Lord will give you the strength to make it through. And the key then is found in one little word: wait for the Lord. But they who wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. This isn't a passive waiting. This isn't twiddling our thumbs, or better yet, in the midst of burden, doom scrolling, right? That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is a picture of active dependence and trust on the Lord. One commentator says that this idea of waiting for the Lord is waiting in eager suspense. Leaning in, looking, waiting, wondering, when is the Lord going to provide and overcome and bring us through? One commentator put it this way: this is what faith does before the Lord shows up. Faith is eagerly in suspense, looking and waiting for the Lord to provide provision to make it through. If you and I want to experience strength from the Lord, we have to first recognize our need. And when we recognize our need, we need to turn to him and eagerly wait. Press in. Live dependently. Trusting him. Trusting him to be God, who's at all times, at every place, with great wisdom and ability and competence to bring us through. Can you trust in a God like that? The Lord provides strength in our time of need. And so as we enter into another holiday season that can often bring unique challenges and difficulties to our lives, both physically and emotionally and spiritually, what would it look like for us to walk with the Lord during a time like this, to trust in Him, to wait on Him, to depend upon Him? It's going to start by remembering Christ. Remembering what God has done for us in and through Jesus. That He has provided everything that we need in Christ to make it through this life. You see, Jesus' life demonstrates to us in a visual way that the Lord is not unaware of our burdens. He is intimately aware. He understands completely what we're walking through. And He's inviting us to find strength through prayer and His word. The Lord is aware of your burden. Why don't you bring it to Him and talk to Him about it? Instead of only running it through your mind and your heart continuously, why not talk to the Lord about it? Why not ask Him to sustain you in the midst of it? Why not look to His word to find help and hope in your time of need? We need to remember Christ if we're going to walk through this season of the year when burdens and difficulties and trials manifest themselves in our lives. We have to remember Jesus. But as we're walking through difficulty, I also need to ask, who am I getting around? Like, who am I spending time with? We need other people. We're all going to be in a place of need at some point in life. Every one of us. Who do I surround myself with when those kinds of needs come? Like, again, this is the value of the believing community of the local church. The church is not perfect. This church is not perfect. No church is perfect because it's comprised of imperfect people like you and me. And yet, God uses His people to bring comfort and care to us. That as we live life together, we can help remind one another, encourage one another, point one another to Jesus. I mean, that's what we need. I mean, this is why every November we have our vision night. Because collectively, not only do we need to do those kinds of things as individuals, but collectively as a church, we need to be reminded of who our God is, what He's done, and where He's taking us. Because much like it is for us individually, when difficulties come, it's difficult to look beyond them. And so I have to remember what God has done, where He has brought us, so that I might find hope and encouragement that He'll continue to do that kind of work into the future. And so we want to invite you to come and be a part of Vision Night with us. To press in, to look back, to celebrate our God, to find encouragement. And as we walk together then, how will we help others find hope and rest in Jesus? I mean, on the one hand, what your friends and coworkers and neighbors and family, what they need to see, they need to see what it looks like to turn to Jesus in moments of trial and burden. I mean, we all know what it looks like to turn to something other than the Lord to provide a moment of respite. Every one of us knows what that looks like. Your friends need no help knowing what it looks like to run in those kinds of directions. What they need to see is imperfect people like us who have a big God. And in the moments of our need, of our burdens, of our difficulties, we're turning to the Lord. We need help. We need help from one another, and we need help from the Spirit of God. And so who is it in your life that you need to be praying for, that they might find rest in Jesus? that you need to be investing in during this season of the year, that you need to invite in that they might hear this good news message about Christ? Who is it in your life? Would you commit for the rest of this year to pray for that person, to ask the Lord to break in that they might see their need? Unless and until we see our need, we're never going to turn to the Lord. I got everything that I need and want. Why do I need Jesus sprinkled on top? And so we need, and our friends need, to recognize their need, that we might turn to the Lord and find hope and rest in Him. And so that's what the Lord's Supper moment is all about. We worship Jesus by taking part in the Lord's Supper, reminding ourselves that His body had to be broken. That was the means by which God brought rest through Christ. He was broken, His blood was shed, that you and I could find life in Him, enter into His family to find rest and hope in Christ. And so in these moments ahead, my hope for us is before we rush forward, that we might think on Christ. Think on what God has done for us in and through Jesus. He has made a way, giving us everything we could ever need in this life and the life to come, in and through Christ. Might we be overwhelmed in such a way that we experience His mercy and grace in a fresh way this morning? And then if you know Jesus, we want to invite you to come forward and to remember His broken body and His shed blood for us. The Lord provides strength in our time of need. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are grateful that You have provided for us in Christ, that You have made a way that we could know You, that You have made a way that we could be forgiven, that You have made a way that we could find rest in the midst of carrying these heavy burdens and weights. And so, Lord, in this moment, would You meet with us in unique ways? Lord, would You help us to experience Your kindness, Your mercy, Your grace? Would You draw men and women to Yourself, that they might give their lives over to Jesus to find rest of soul? Help us to think on Christ in these moments ahead, that our mind's attention would be drawn to You, our God, Your greatness and Your goodness. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.